some more messy media news. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Coffee Rhetoric. It has been a minute, but I am your intrepid host, Tiffany J. I know it's been a while since I recorded a video. There is more recent content that I uploaded maybe about a week ago. I did a podcast episode. I've been talking a lot about the media lately. I really like discussing media mess. I call it media mess, but a lot of the gossip and rumors within the media realm, I think because I've always been in some way, shape, or form involved in media, digital media, regular media at large, whatever. But I did upload a recent podcast episode talking about, I think I talked about the Risa Tisa story and the whole big back energy thing. So please be sure to check that out. Because I'm such an infrequent content creator, and you know, I don't upload as often as I would like to or as I should. I'm not always going to be in the algorithm. And if you're subscribed to my channel, you probably won't always know when I post something new. But yes, go check that out. But I also, if you're following me on Patreon, if you're a Ko-fi supporter, or if you're subscribed to my Substack, oh, and in case you all didn't know, yes, I am now on Patreon. For the most part, I'm still a fairly new Patreon person. So for the most part, I've put a lot of my long form think pieces on there. So that's what you'll see when you go on there. If you happen to decide you want to support me and my work, that's what you'll see right now is mostly writing. If you like to read, you'll see some of my long form essays. I believe there's also an unpublished or unlisted video that I did not upload to YouTube because I did not like it. I did not like some of the commentary I gave, just because a lot of it got lost in translation. So that's also uploaded on my Patreon, and it's also uploaded on my Ko-fi page. And if you are subscribed to my Substack, you got it last Friday. So yeah, that's, I guess you would call that housekeeping. So if you feel so obliged, become a patron on my Patreon, subscribe to my Substack, and become a Ko-fi supporter. Ko-fi, you can do a one-time tip, or you can be a monthly supporter. And while I'm here doing this housekeeping, I would like to shout out my very first patron, Nutmegger Daily. Appreciate your support. And as always, I'd like to shout out my main Ko-fi supporter, the Pressure Cooker, who's also a content creator on here. Shout out to her. So now that that's out of the way, as I mentioned in the beginning, I've been talking and writing a lot about media and media trends, what's going on in media. If you read my last essay, Navigating Media Minefields, I wrote about the situation with Don Lemon being fired from CNN and initially entering into a distribution partnership with X, aka Twitter. I also spoke about Funky DeNeva and his departure from Fox Soul, and I talked about Shannon Sharp. That is a very good read, if I do say so myself. So head on over there and check it out. You can read it. But in any event, I would like to, I guess you would consider this somewhat of a follow-up to that essay, Navigating Media Minefields, because I would like to talk about Don Lemon again. And in case you haven't heard that, in my essay, I initially express skepticism about Don Lemon entering into a partnership with Elon Musk. I just didn't think it was, I just thought it was not that great of an idea, regardless of whatever perks or what have you he was getting. He said he initially entered into this distribution partnership with Elon Musk because he said that Elon Musk was more or less a champion for free speech. And my whole position was, no, he's not. He's actually a fucking hypocrite. He's not a champion of free speech. He's only a champion of free speech for people like him and people of his ilk who want to use their large platforms and their money to speak irresponsibly and spread misinformation and just say a lot of just erroneous things. Free speech is only for them, never for anybody else, particularly when people are calling them out and holding people like Elon Musk accountable. And I also mentioned in that essay and in my unlisted audio that you can find on Ko-fi and on Patreon, I also mentioned that Elon Musk, since taking over Twitter, he's gone out of his way to suppress any dissent, anybody that calls him out or holds him accountable. He suspended a lot of Twitter accounts that belong to journalists. He's been suspending and suppressing any accounts that are advocating for Palestine. So my position was he's not that much of a champion for free speech and that he's a hypocrite in that regard. So anyway, I told in that essay, I said, go get your bag, Don, but I don't know about this. So since I wrote that essay, a lot has happened with Don Lemon and old Elon Musk in their partnership. So in I know I am pushing my Patreon heavy, I know, but just hang in there with me. So if you aren't a Patreon or Ko-fi supporter, or you aren't subscribed to my Substack, you may have missed me writing about all that stuff and the intricacies of creating content and media on your own personal platforms, as opposed to contributing and having to answer to the whims of others. So, a lot of the times when you do that, you're kind of beholden to other people's rules, other people's agendas, when you're helping build up other people's platforms and you're contributing to their platforms and you enter into these kind of collaborative relationships where you're creating content on their platform. You should just do it on your own. So in any event, Don Lemon entered into this distribution partnership with Elon Musk. So Don Lemon, he entered into this distribution partnership with Elon Musk to launch his new show on X called The Don Lemon Show. And now it seems that Elon has wavered on his commitment. Mere days before The Don Lemon Show was set to debut last week, I believe his show officially debuted. I believe that was last Monday. So basically, to woo advertisers back to the platform that jumped ship after Elon took over Twitter and opened the gates and unsuspended the accounts of every racist, hateful troll you can imagine. And all of his other kind of questionable decisions since taking over the platform. A lot of advertisers jump ship. So I believe while some people, they've been calling out Don Lemon over these last few days, they've been calling him out since his partnership with Elon Musk went sour after his inaugural interview with Elon Musk at the Tesla Center or whatever you call it. He went to Tesla to have his inaugural interview for his new show with Elon Musk. That whole thing went sour because Elon Musk did not like the questions that Don Lemon asked him during that interview. He got real salty about that because shortly after that interview, he immediately sent Don a terse text message basically telling him, fuck you. This partnership's over. Contract off the table.
Hi, everyone. Elon Musk is mad at me. And I just put out a statement about what happened between him, me, and the interview that he is apparently so upset about. But make no mistake about this. This is going to be my first episode of the Don Lemon Show this coming Monday, March 18th. So make sure you tune in. This does not change anything about the show except for my relationship with Elon and X. And there's a whole lot that went down and I'm going to tell you about in the coming days. I know though that many of you were not happy that I was doing this in the first place and you told me so. I just want you to know that I did this deal because not only do I believe in free speech, but I believed that this was the best possible chance for the work that I'm doing to reach the largest amount of people. So speaking of free speech, right, I thought the first person interview, no-brainer, Elon Musk, the man who calls himself a free speech absolutist. I asked him to do it. He willingly agreed to the interview. Throughout our conversation, I kept reiterating to him that although it was tense at times, I thought it was good for people to see and hear our exchange and that they would learn from our conversation, learn more about him, learn more about me. But apparently, free speech absolutism doesn't apply when it comes to questions about him from people like me. What did we talk about? Why is he so upset? Does he even have a reason to be upset?
So he canceled his business relationship with Don Lemon. So a lot of people, since that whole thing transpired, and I believe Don Lemon said, well, whatever, fuck you. Interview's still going to air as planned. My show is still going to go forward as planned. I don't have to have a partnership with X. I'm still going to debut it on YouTube and all other platforms like I had planned to. But with this distribution deal, Don Lemon said he had every intention of debuting his show on other platforms, but he was giving Twitter exclusive rights to his content first before, you know, it went live on other platforms. And so he was saying Don Lemon said that Elon was never his boss, that X and Elon Musk did not have any editorial rights or say so over the content he would be producing. He was saying it was merely a distribution deal in how Elon, you know, that it was Elon and X had gone out of their way to pursue him, that they offered him all of these incentives to debut the Don Lemon show on X to give them first dibs on the content when it went live. So Don said that Elon trotted him out in front of all of these advertisers, so forth and so on. And so there's been a lot of talk since their deal went sour. And since that interview, there's been a lot of talk about how Don Lemon is basically a diva and was asking for all of these things. Like, I want this kind of car. I want to go to space. I want this. I want that money. I want this many millions of dollars up front, so forth and so on. And, you know, there's all this talk that Don Lemon was being a diva and that he was trying to take advantage of the deal with X and with Elon Musk. But honestly, I think they were both mutually, there was some usury on the other side too, because I feel like if you're to believe or go by what Don Lemon was saying, which I do believe, I feel like X and Elon Musk tried to use Don Lemon to woo back advertisers back to the platform. And like I said, Elon and his team heavily, heavily courted Don Lemon, who was fired, I believe, last April from CNN. He was let go. And he recently, it was reported that he finally got a $25 million severance payout from CNN. Not a bad deal. And so they heavily courted Don to debut some of his stuff on X. They offered him a lucrative distribution contract with perks to exclusively premiere content from the Don Lemon show. So the Don Lemon Show's inaugural interview was with Elon Musk at Tesla. And I watched the whole thing. It was very interesting. But you can see clips of the show of him asking him kind of like these hard-hitting questions about his alleged drug use, his relationship with Donald Trump, his political affiliations, some of his controversial statements. He asked Elon Musk, what responsibility, if any, does he feel like he holds for all of the hatefulness that's routinely spewed on X? Yeah, it was a lot. And you can clearly see that. And he was kind of asking him these questions at rapid fire speed. And, you know, I would say among his colleagues, I would say that the commentary has been a little mixed. There are some of his colleagues who are like, you know, Don, you're cool and all, but you were kind of aggressive with your line of questioning. And there are some of his colleagues that were like, yes, I'm glad that you kept your foot on his neck. So, you know, commentary has been a little mixed about the way that Don Lemon went about his interview. I personally didn't have any issues with it. I was glad that once he got Elon in the hot seat, I was kind of glad that he kind of was asking him all of these questions and did not let up. I liked it. I liked seeing Elon Musk squirm and get uncomfortable in his seat. I really did. So, needless to say, as I mentioned before, the experience left Musk with a salty taste in his mouth. He sent Lemon that text message that said, you know, we're done. There won't be any business relationship between us. And so, honestly, against his better judgment, plus his colleagues in the court of public opinion advising Don that the newly minted partnership with Musk was a bad idea to begin with, and that it would go left because of Musk's kind of seemingly wishy-washy nature. There are many people, including myself, who said that it probably wasn't a good idea to enter into the partnership to begin with, regardless of what those incentives was, and that Don should have just gone ahead and debuted his show the way he ended up rolling it out to be, the way that he ended up rolling it out. He should have just done that to begin with and not entered into a partnership with such a kind of a weird, flaky, wishy-washy person of questionable character. I don't know why he didn't just do it this way to begin with. Many people had a feeling things would go left. And so it is what it is. And Don Lemon said, when everything went left, he said, when everything went left, he said, you know, my show is going to debut on schedule as planned. When he said, I'm going to be linking it, uploading it, to Twitter anyway, whether there's a partnership or not, I'm going to share it to Twitter. So it seems like when he tried to upload the interview to Twitter, it went live everywhere else, but he was having some issues with uploading the video to Twitter. And it seems like people behind the scenes may or may not have been trying to suppress the interview on Twitter. I believe they probably were tampering and making it difficult for Don to upload it to Twitter, but it's on there. And, you know, on YouTube, on his YouTube page, the Don Lemon Show, it got pretty decent numbers. There's thousands of comments under the video. So it's on there on his YouTube page. The last I checked, he's now almost up to, it's probably more by now, but he's nearly got 50,000 subs so far to YouTube. So I feel like he should have just rolled out his new show and his new brand this way to begin with. Because again, when you kind of enter, and I'm cynical, I'm very cynical about this kind of stuff, because I know what it's like to kind of enter into like this. You're kind of like you're the creative one. You're the brains behind whatever it is you're bringing to the table and the creativity. And you enter into these collaborative partnerships with people who may have the reach, the money, or whatever, and then they kind of yank the rug out from under you when things go bad. You know, I've been there a couple of times. So regardless of whether it's large or small, it's always just best to just branch out on your own and do your own thing to begin with, and to test the waters and to step out on faith and just do it on your own. And if people like what they see, and as you grow and sponsors and people with money want to come sniff around and court you, then that's fine. But it's always risky to start off building up somebody else's shit. I don't know why he thought Musk would value any other opinion that didn't align with his anyway. Because contrary to what Elon Musk says about being a free speech advocate, he doesn't stand firmly for free speech, especially when he's the one that's under scrutiny or facing tough questions. And he has actively, like I said, suppressed the voices of journalists and pro-Palestine activists since he's taken over Twitter, while he opened up the gates and let racist trolls run free on Twitter. So I feel like Elon Musk's disingenuous stance on speaking freely is a common trait among people of his ilk, who often lament censorship, who whine about cancel culture and wokeness, only when they find themselves in the hot seat, or only when they're trying to dodge accountability for some fuck shit they've engaged in, and who disingenuously advocate for free speech when really they want it for themselves so that they can spread hate propaganda and misinformation with impunity. And to me, that is Elon Musk to a T. In any event, the Don Lemon show, it did premiere on the 18th. On the 18th, I believe that was last Monday, on his new YouTube channel. It's on podcasting platforms. And despite the severed relationship and that went sour, he shared his content everywhere. And I feel like that's just what he should have done to begin with. What else? I feel like I'm leaving. I don't want to leave anything out because I'm speaking really fast and I'm pressed for time. So that's that on that. And so since the interview has debuted, he promoted the fuck out of the interview. He stopped off at his former place of employment, shockingly enough, on CNN, to talk about the severed relationship in the interview. So the interview, despite the severed relationship, it got a lot of buzz. And like I said, Don was promoting the fuck out of it. He stopped off at CNN. He stopped off at The View. He stopped off at ABC News. He hit popular YouTube spots like the David Pakman show. He was on The Young Turks. He was on Brian Taylor Cohen's YouTube channel to discuss what went wrong with Elon Musk, to just name a few places. So the interview, it still did good numbers. It's got thousands of comments. Don Lemon's subscribership is growing. So I feel like it's not bad for a newly independent journalist, coming out of kind of like the corporate media, coming off the corporate media plantation. Not bad. I feel like he thought he needed Elon Musk's flailing platform to gain traction and to gain reach. And I don't feel like he didn't. And I feel like even though Elon Musk thought he was sticking it to Don Lemon, to me, it, even though some people are saying, oh, well, Don Lemon got owned by Elon Musk, I don't think so. I feel like him terminating a relationship and thinking he was sticking it to Don Lemon, it backfired on him. I realize money and incentives sound good, but Don, you're an accomplished journalist. You were on CNN for many, many years. You should have just leveraged your connections to organically grow your new brand and your new channel. That is what you ended up having to do anyway. I'm not sure if he would have gotten that interview with Elon Musk if he hadn't entered into the partnership with Twitter, but whatever. He got it. It's done. It's over. And honestly, who cares? Musk isn't really all that interesting of an interview subject anyway. What else do I, before I forget, while I'm on the topic, and along this same vein of just doing your own shit on your own platform, as opposed to building up somebody else's stuff and kind of being a sitting duck and being at the mercy of their agenda and what they want, and being vulnerable to the fact that they can yank the rug out from under you at any moment. Let's talk about Candy Owens, right? So Candace Owens was finally in let go from the Daily Wire. I guess the last straw for them, not the last straw, but the only straw for them seemed to be her stance on the war over in Gaza and what's going on between Israel and the Palestinians. And Candace Owens's stance, surprisingly, her stance is what you're doing over there is wrong. Honestly, the things that Candace has said in support of Palestine is kind of tepid and mild in comparison to hardcore activists who call it what it is. They name the thing the thing. They call it, this is genocide. What's happening over there? It's wrong. People calling out Zionism. So Candace hasn't even been all that forceful in her pro kind of Palestine stance. But I feel like it's interesting that that was the line for them. You've got all of these kind of Hollywood Zionists. You've got like the Amy Schumers and the Juliana Margulies and the Michael Rappaports. You know, they get to say what they want about Black people. They're saying, they've been saying all of this and spewing all of this anti-Black rhetoric because they want Black Americans to pick up their cause and to help propagate their Zionist agenda. And a lot of Black people are just like, listen, we don't do apartheid. Why would we help peddle your agenda? We're not going to pick up the burden and carry your water for you. And so that's made a lot of elite Hollywood Zionists mad with many Black Americans, and where they've been saying just a lot of hateful things, a lot of hateful Islamophobic things, and a lot of hateful anti-Black things. But I feel like in Candace Owens's situation, it's interesting that that was the line for them. Meanwhile, she's been on her podcast on the Daily Wire's platform with her 3-point-something million subscribers. She's been able to sit on there and say deplorable things about other Black people, just very anti-Black things, say deplorable things about unarmed Black people who've fallen due to police violence. She said deplorable things about Breonna Taylor. She said deplorable things about George Floyd. She's helped she's helped peddle and perpetuate a lot of very anti-Black, white, hegemonic rhetoric. Like when I say she said some truly deplorable things about Black people, she's made comments like Black people are the most murderous people on the planet. Like she said some truly deplorable things. She said some deplorable anti-Black things. She's had the ear of a lot of politicians. She said deplorable things at congressional hearings, you know, a lot of things that help enact policies that are very anti-Black, that policies that try to kind of erase Black history and peddle kind of like ahistorical revisionist claptrap. She's helped further those agendas. She's helped further agendas that rolled back affirmative action and things of that nature. So it was all well and good when she sat on the Daily Wire's platform and spewed a bunch of anti-Blackness. But her saying what's going on over in Gaza is wrong is the line. She's been labeled as anti-Semitic. She's been harassed. So it's just interesting that that was the line. It's like you can sit on here and you can talk about your own community and you can peddle a lot of claptrap about your own community, but you can't do that to ours. That's not okay for you to do that to ours. And so she finally got fired and she officially announced it a couple of days ago on Twitter. I believe she tweeted something along the lines of, "I'm finally free." But one interesting thing to note about Candace, and it all makes sense because over the last couple of months when I was hate watching her content on YouTube, I noticed she kind of started making a shift towards the pop culture entertainment commentary arena. Like she was saying things about how much Taylor Swift sucks. You know, in the middle of all of her weirdo femininity, nuclear family femininity claptrap, she was doing a lot of kind of pop culture commentary and talking about entertainment news, like saying how much she thought Taylor Swift sucks, and you know, the kind of that kind of commentary. And I'm like, okay, this is interesting. An interesting shift that she's squeezing all this kind of commentary in the middle of all of her fuck shit. And then I noticed, I'd say over the last couple of weeks or so, she's been all of a sudden making the rounds to all of these noted Black media platforms. And Candace has never really done Black media like that. So she's been on the Joe Budden podcast. She was on the Breakfast Club. So then shortly after it was announced, she was fired from the Daily Wire. And so I just think that's interesting. And so you have all of this really interesting commentary on YouTube from independent, they call it new Black media, from all of these really good noted Black media platforms on YouTube saying, don't try to use us to rebrand yourself now when we weren't good enough. And now you're trying to leverage Black media to rebrand yourself. So I think that's interesting. And I do agree. I will say, if you're really about it, Candace, and if you really stand on business, I would see how big your balls are, and I would go on I would step outside of your comfort zone and go on some of these Black media platforms that's going to challenge you a little bit. Charlamagne and Just Hilarious and what's that scammer's name? DJ Envy. You're going on the safe platforms and interviewing with people who aren't really going to push back on some of your fuck shit. They're going to humor you and kind of let you do your spin on things and say things like, I know I said this, but I meant that. I know I said this, but people don't really know me like that. What I really meant was, so I challenge you to go on Black media platforms that's going to push back and challenge you, but you probably won't do that because you won't be able to rebrand and spin and paint your narratives and stuff. But so Candace is fired from the Daily Wire. She's shifting her shit on her own personal YouTube page that has, what, a million subscribers or so. So it's, she's got a good subscriber base on her platform. So I guess she's going to kind of do the same thing that Funky DeNeva did when he exited Fox Soul. He just went back to his own large platform, dusted it off, and decided to just start live streaming on there, something he probably should have done, started doing to begin with, because you've got the numbers, you've got the reach. Listen, when you know you're the clout, why not just do that on your own platform and stop building up other people's platforms and, you know, not getting what you're due on those platforms and, you know, being under other people's restrictions. So now Candace, she's fundraising on her website. She's got her website up. She's got her fundraising shit on where people can donate money to her. She's got some website. She got her website and then she's got like this Go Candace or something like that where people can donate money there. She said she's going to take a hiatus and then she's going to transition onto her own YouTube page and just start doing what she was doing on the Daily Wire's platform on her own page. And, you know, she's probably, you know, been locked out of the Daily Wire's. So she doesn't have access to her 3 million subscribers she's built up over there. And that's fine. She'll probably get back up to 3 million subscribers in no time. She's already at a million. There are people who have still said, we're still going to support you. You're the only reason we watch the Daily Wire anyway. We want to keep listening to you talk bad about Black people, so forth and so on. So I think she'll be fine. I think she'll build that subscriber base up to 3 million in no time, probably more, because people, now that she's kind of unrestricted, people are going to be even more interested in in what she's going to say and how she's going to rebrand herself now that she's shifting over to her own platform, her own YouTube platform, and dusting off her YouTube page. So I, once again, lover or hater, Candace, this is probably something you just should have done to begin with. You should have spewed your bile on your own platform instead of building up the Daily Wire's platform and being under their restrictions and them telling you, you can talk about the trans community, you can talk about LGBTQ, you can talk about other Black people, but you can't talk about us. You should probably should just did all that shit on your own platform to begin with. So that's that on that. It'll be interesting to see how Candace transitions over to her own platform now that she's free. I don't think getting sponsors and funding will probably be a big issue for her. Somebody somewhere is going to donate millions of dollars to her so she can do her thing over on her own platform. So, yes, that is that on that. That's very interesting. So I think, once again, the theme is media. The theme is do your own shit on your own platform and stop building up other people's shit being under their whims and their restrictions and their policy. Just do it on your own platform. And it doesn't matter how big or small. And especially if you already have a huge following, leverage your following and just do it on your own. That's what I feel. So I think that's the theme, do your own shit. You know, Shannon Sharp, when he broke away from what's that guy's name? I don't do sports, but that white guy he used to do the sports show with, he got away from him and he's been killing it over at Club Shay Shay. So yes, that is my commentary. So if you've enjoyed anything you've heard here, please feel free to like, share, and or subscribe. However, I genuinely appreciate engaging with you all in the comment section, agree or disagree. Just do it respectfully. Thank you. Please offer your feedback there and let me know what you think. What do you think of Don Lemon's interview with Elon Musk on his new show? What do you think of this situation with Daily Wire and Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro? Let me know what you think. Check out my About section for pertinent links. All the links you need about Coffee Rhetoric are in my About section. Patreon, Coffee, Substack, my website, all that. About section. If you like long-form op-eds, my latest think piece, Rage Farming, the Soft Life Edition, is published on Patreon, and it's on Coffee for supporters. And again, it recently went live on Substack. It's free to subscribe to my Substack and read it. So go ahead on and do that. And that's pretty much it. To quote Fiona Apple, my all-time favorite exclamation from her at the MTV Music Awards many, many years ago, this world is bullshit. Go with yourselves. That's what you need to do. Go with yourselves. Stop building up people's shit. Build up your own shit. I'm out.
Time. See, Maya Angelou said that we as human beings at our best can only create opportunities. And I'm going to use this opportunity the way that I want to use it. So what I want to say is, everybody out there that's watching, everybody that's watching this world is bullshit. And you shouldn't model your life. Wait a second. You shouldn't model your life about what you think that we think is cool and what we're wearing and what we're saying and everything. Go with yourself.